It's the state of the art of contemporary art. It's the Whitney Biennial. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Today, a preview of one of the art world's most anticipated events. Plus a preview of a big event of a different kind. It's wedding planning season. And we'll hear about some offbeat choices for live music and take your calls. But let's begin with the Whitney Biennial. The show contains all manner of work from artists at nearly every stage of their careers. There's painting and sculpture, installations, lots of performance, and lots of film, including one by Werner Herzog about this music by composer Ernst Reisinger. The show opens tomorrow, but we're getting a preview today from New York Times culture reporter Robin Pogrebin. Robin, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Set the scene for us. Where is the Whitney Biennial in the firmament of big events in the art world?
It's a very big deal because it's kind of where talent gets discovered. And it's, you know, the whole sort of art world is watching for who this kind of crew, this new crop of kind of discovered talent is going to be. And it runs the gamut from the young to the old, as you said. And it really is kind of a game changer for an artist's career. You know, for better or worse, you kind of have been anointed once you're in the biennial.
Mm-hmm. So it's every other year. Mm-hmm. And in the past, there have been themes, whether explicit or implied. Doesn't seem to be the case this year.
It doesn't, and I think, you know, we all come looking for those themes. I think in this one, you sort of get a little bit of the gist of several sort of streams that run through it, one being performance art. There's a real heavy emphasis on that, and it's unusual, particularly when you get to the fourth floor and 6,000 square feet are taken up by basically a white stage. And, you know, that's clearly has made performance art a priority. And, I mean, to be honest, then some of the fine art on the walls, you know, feels a little bit dwarfed. But you do get a sense that it's a very eclectic mix. And there is also this overshadowing of Mike Kelly, the artist who died recently, took his own life at 57. And he's featured prominently and was kind of very involved in the gestation of this. And so there is a poignancy to this biennial as well.
Now you went to the press preview. What was going on then?
Well, it's a mass of journalists moving through, and I have to say, I've gone through with curators in the past, and you kind of crave them for a biennial. You want someone to sort of explain what you're seeing, what they were going for by including this or that, to give you some context. You're sort of relieved by some of the stuff that's most explicit. Namely, there's this artist, Dawn Casper, who has basically kind of moved into the museum. And she's standing there and talking. You can ask her whatever you want. Her bed is there. You know, there's just the bins of her old cassette tapes. And she talks about how she's had those tapes since she was in high school. And there's all of her books. And there's costumes she wore and piles of shoes. And she basically says, you know, that now all of this is art, but it's still very much a reflection of her personality.
So Dawn Casper, performance artist and musician, she's calling this could be something if I let it. And here Dawn Casper explains the premise of her work.
I'm planning a 3-month durational performance in the Whitney Museum. And I need funding to realize it. It's called This Could Be Something If I Let It. And I'm moving my entire studio, moving everything in this room. I don't know if I can sneak my bed. I don't know if they'll let me sleep there. I kind of didn't ask, but I think that would be weird. Everything in here is part of it, but I have weird things in here right now, like pomegranates. Do you want a pomegranate?
That is from a fundraising video that Dawn Casper put together for this project that's at the Whitney. To answer her question, she is not being allowed to sleep.
She's not allowed to sleep there. She says she plans to nap.
Because after all, the bed is there.
You could listen to her all day. I mean, there is something about it where she's sort of every woman and at the same time completely quirky in her own person. She said, you know, everything I own is in this room. My shoes, my underwear is art, including myself.
Well, you know, I mean, that's part of the performance art thing. And as we've seen increasingly in the art world, storytelling, visual arts, the dramatic arts, and music all coming together, you know, very often in the same person.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a recurring theme in the Whitney Biennial.
Absolutely. And the curators do talk about that, particularly in some of their press materials. Elizabeth Sussman, who's a longtime Whitney curator, and Jay Sanders, who's a former director of the Green Naftali Gallery in Chelsea and an independent curator. They've talked about just kind of the multimedia aspect of this. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be deliberate now. So many of these artists are multitasking in a way and collaborating together. And in that way, I mean, you just get the sense that all of these lines are blurred. It's just sort of, you know, what is art anymore is unclear. I mean, one of the artists there, this woman, Georgia Sagri, who is from Greece, was kind of on her cell phone walking through, and everyone's sort of standing back, and she's like, you can come in, you can come in, and you can walk around, you can sit on these pillows, I'm not going to perform, I'm just going to rehearse, and she just kept repeating that, and you don't know if she's actually, you know, whether this
that
is...
That was the thing.
It turns out that's the art. So there's this real kind of out-of-body quality to it.
Working the no work is what she calls it. Which sounds like it was probably an appropriate title.
Right. But there's also like painted doors and there's a metronome playing. And I mean, there are sort of fine art qualities to it. There's hanging, you know, stained clothing on the walls. It's not completely unorthodox.
Now, you mentioned the fourth floor of the Whitney, the 6,000 square foot expanse.
Right.
It's available for performances of all stripes. You can screen films there. You can have live music and choreography, live dance as well. Sarah Mitchelson is someone whose name is coming up in this year's Whitney Biennial.
Right. She and Michael Clark are the choreographers who are in residence in March and early April. And then additional biennial residencies and events will be going on there. But, you know, even for the Times, one of our dance writers wrote, this isn't performance or an installation with movement. The biennial is backing serious dance. So this is, you know, not just art. It really is on its own terms. Dance of a legitimate nature. When I was there for the preview, I think it was her. She was in a horse's head, a brown bodysuit, just walking around the room, and someone was mopping. So, you know, who knows if that's dance? I guess so. But apparently, it's one of the biggest spaces aside from the Park Avenue Armory for dance right now.
Right. Now, Sarah Mitchelson, she's British. You mentioned Georgia Sagri from Greece. So it's an international. I mean, we often think of the Whitney Biennial as American art, but they seem to be casting an international net here.
It's supposed to kind of, the mandate is the current state of contemporary art in America. It doesn't necessarily mean it's American. I think it's really about the kind of art that's being done here. And one of the other thing, the other things that the curators talk about is not wanting to jam too much in. In the past, there have been as many as 100 artists featured. There are about half that here. And that's not just a kind of a product of the recession. It's about them kind of wanting to really focus on the stuff they loved and, you know, not kind of jam up your sort of your, you know, receptors in terms of what you're getting when you walk around. Mm-hmm. So they've been very select. And there is a quality of, you know, discovery in that you do feel when you're walking around. It's just not, you're not bombarded by sort of sensory overload.
We're speaking with Robin Pogrebin, culture reporter of the New York Times, about the Whitney Biennial, which opens tomorrow to the public and runs through May 27th. Lots of residencies and live performances. I was struck by the number of film-related things that are in the Biennial this year. Certainly that's a part of it. But you mentioned, Robin, the late Mike Kelly. Took his life not too long ago, Detroit-born artist, curator, and musician. The Biennial is now posthumously dedicated to him, is that right?
It is dedicated to him, yeah. And I think there is, you know, there's this kind of punk rock quality to him that sort of informs the whole show. You know, a real sort of iconoclast, somebody who other artists really embraced and were sorry to lose. And that kind of does infuse the exhibition. You have this mobile homestead show of his, which is three different videos about him kind of trying to reconstruct his Detroit home. And it's just kind of a fascinating window into his life. And it's interesting that he was involved right up until the last moment.
Mm-hmm. This is the project where, like, one tractor trailer is carrying the front of the house, and then another
on
one
wheels.
Has... Yeah. But in addition to being an artist, Mike Kelly was also an original member of the band Destroy All Monsters, and then went on to an occasional solo career, like this song called Motivational Speech. late Mike Kelly from music that he wrote for a 2005 video installation. Motivational Speech is the name of this piece of music. The installation was called Day Is Done. The Whitney Biennial 2012, dedicated to the memory of the late Mike Kelly. And Robin, we mentioned there is no overriding theme to the Whitney this year. What do you think the biennial is saying about the current state of art?
Well, I mean, I think what I took away the most was this kind of a personal statement from these artists. You get a sense of who they are, not just what they're making. And I think that in a way, it's kind of talking about the artist as a person and a human being. Not only are many of them present because they're performing, which is unusual, that's a very strong kind of atmospheric aspect to it. But a lot of these exhibitions are very personal. You have an artist named Latoya Ruby Frazier who has black and white photographs that document her family in Braddock, Pennsylvania, a working class suburb of Pittsburgh, and she's pictured wearing the pajamas and blanket of her deceased step-great-grandfather who suffered from chronic illnesses that were endemic to the steelworkers. And, you know, things like that and she was actually happened to be walking around the press preview. I don't know how often she'll be there. But, you know, there she is pictured in the photographs. And there's a lot of the artist coming through the work in this show that I think makes it impossible to forget that there are people creating these things.
The Whitney Biennial opens to the public tomorrow and runs through May 27th. Robin Bogerman is culture reporter of the New York Times and a frequent guest on Soundcheck. And Robin, nice to see you again.
You too. Thanks for having me.
The band Red Crayola will present a concert as part of the Biennial, and they'll premiere an opera written with the British conceptual art group Art and Language. Here's a track from their 2010 collaboration.
Of the left side of the face, including the left forehead.
Up next, how to find a wedding band that doesn't quite sound like a wedding band. We'll talk with a musician and a wedding planner about the risks and rewards of using offbeat music for your nuptials. That's coming up on Soundcheck.
Right eye with creases to the left and the right of hand. The upper frontal plane of the forehead, the left eye is creased to the left, the front left side of the lower face.